All right, God bless you guys for joining us here at H&LC Studios. Got a little buffer just before the show started. Other than that, we're going to get moving here in just a minute. As a matter of fact, Elder Kerry Williams coming in to be a part of the show, which we constantly do here on Thursday night with him here at H&LC Studios. We're not going to delay the time. We're going to kind of push forward just here a little bit. Give him a few minutes to get himself prepared to come into the show. As he already kind of let me know that, you know, he's getting ready to roll in. He's got some things to pray and just getting himself in position. But we're going to go ahead and open up with prayer. Father God, we thank you. We bless you. We honor you for this opportunity, Father God, before your throne. Father God, it's always a declared word, a decreed word. It's always coming from your kingdom. Father God, we ask you to look over us, watch us, keep us as we go forth. As we continue to declare the word that's coming from the kingdom of God, knowing that we declared, Father God, no weapon formed against us. And Father God, even as we begin to go forth, Father God, we ask you to watch over this word, Father God. Let it rule, let it reign, let it convict, let it arrest, let it touch the hearts of men and women of God. Who have attended of an ear to hear, according to Romans 10:17, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say. That's always coming from the kingdom of God. Father God, we say, we bless you, we thank you, honor you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray, Lord, amen. As we said from the beginning of the show, we had a little buffer coming in. Other than that, you know, it's always on time because the word of God, you know, it says, you know, no weapon formed. You got to believe that he says that. And we got to know it to come to fruition. As we look at the word of God, as we get our children in position, I know he left off on last week. He was kind of talking a little bit about the book of Acts, chapter 4. He was dealing with some things there. No doubt in my mind he's going to start talking about that again on the night. And as we looked at a little bit on the first part of Acts chapter 4, you know, we talk about the process of how, you know, certain men and women of God who we meet on a daily basis sometimes when we're going out to the supermarkets and, you know, the highways, you know, the hedges, as the word of God say, we ought to take the word throughout all the world, proclaim the gospel. We're going to have people that's going to hinder, you know, they don't like what you say or what you do. But, you know, the word of God says you got to move forward because it's not weapons formed against you that can prosper and nothing can be able to stand. So we got to believe and understand in the midst of where we're moving that God said, as our word go forth, there are people and men and women of God who really, you know, they diametrically oppose the word of God. They don't want to hear what the kingdom of God has to say. You know, you hear the old commercial sometime here back says, you know, I want my money and I want my money now. Well, you know, they want that thing. They want the things of the world. But they don't want the kingdom of God. I mean, everything that God has in the kingdom is all available for them. But he said it comes with persecutions. Nobody wants the persecution. We want the stuff. We don't want the persecutions. So that's just a part of what we are seeing right now in the life that we're living, what we see around us. Very few are receiving the word of God in the way it needs to be received. And what we find out over in the book of Acts chapter 4 is the man of God's getting ready to come in here in a moment, I believe. And it says over in Acts chapter 4, I just want to get to the two part of this particular verses, and they spoke unto the people, the priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees. They came upon them. Now, we know from studying of this particular word that the Sanhedrin Council pretty much governed and ran all the temple maintenance and all the things before they was in charge of all the employees who were there. So, you know, they hired strong men, and they was under their particular doctrine. And we know, according to the word of God, during the time of that Pentecost, we know that these men of God who actually ran the temple and actually had members or employees of the temple, they taught these men of God that we're not to receive anything about the man named Jesus Christ. And anybody who's preaching the word of Jesus Christ come under scrutiny from us and us only. So we know the process is verse 2. They say they laid hands on them as they preached the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And the Bible declared they threw him in prison. And I don't want to go too far out on that because I want the man of God to come in here and get himself in position. As I know he said he's getting ready to kind of get himself going here in just a moment. So I'm going to kind of give him some delay time here and let him continue to move here. But I'm going to see what he's at in terms of the word of God. If not, then I'm going to go ahead and just push back again. He told me, okay, he's ready. So I kind of got him on the mic, so you might hear a little moving around, not normally, but we got to keep, you know, track on where he is and what he's doing. But the word of God talked about here in this particular third verse, and they laid hands on them. Now, this is what the word of God talks to us. You know, other than putting physical hands on us, they'll put a physical mouth against you, or what they'll do, they'll call whoever the part of that, you know, back then they called them synagogues, and they call them temples, but when we go into a Walmart, a Target, whatever you may have in your town, a city there, when you begin to speak the word of God, begin to minister the word of God, they got officers in there. And we already know the law pretty much don't, you know, they don't go by the word of God, because we see what happens in the school system. We understand and realize that they don't want Christ in the school anywhere, because it disturbs them. So when we go out in particular areas, they don't only lay hands on us, but put their mouth on us. And they call different people from authority, kind of like the same way it happened here in the book of Acts chapter 4. These Sadducees who ran the temple and had their own type of employees and was indoctrinated in what they believed. And so same thing with us. As we go out and begin to spread the gospel, there are different rules and regulations they have in place to say, hey, look, we don't want to hear the gospel. It offends us. We don't want it in our school system, because we got kids go there that don't believe in this Jesus Christ stuff. You know, and if you're going to come out and speak this thing in a public place, you know, it's going to be consequences behind that. But the word of God said the persecution is coming. You suffer for his name. When you suffer for the name of God, there's something you're going to deal with that you might not like. But the word of God said you have overcome by the blood and the power of your testimonies. I mean, when you go out and testify and speak the word of God to the people, they have to, hey, here we go. All right, there we go. I'm backing out of this. I'm backing out. It's in your hands, man.
Apostle Ellis, you're doing fine. As a matter of fact, you're right there where we want to be. I'm just going to take a look back up here at that same fourth chapter of Acts, and we're just going to expound a little bit on a couple of those verses of scripture there. I want to go back to verse 31, though. And y'all pray with me, because I'm sitting in my car here. I just got into my parking space. But verse 4 and 31 says, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now listen, I'm going to go ahead and read these next couple of verses, but I just want to touch on that very shortly tonight, because, you know, time doesn't take long for time to spend. God doesn't take a long time to do anything anyway. But verse 32 says, now the multitude of those who believed were, and this is what I love right here, is what I'm trying to get at, were of one heart and one mind. In other words, the King James Version said they were all on one accord. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. In other words, listen, I just want to encourage somebody tonight, be it according to your faith. You know, we got a lot of things going on in the body these days. And quite honestly, there's a lot of selfishness. There's a lot of self going on. And we've got to understand, be it according to your faith. According to this right here, the early church, the early believers, according to these two verses of scripture, they were all of one mind, okay? They were all in one accord. They had the mind of Christ, and they all had one heart, or they all had all things common. In other words, what you've got to understand is that it does not matter. If your faith is challenging you and telling you to go forth in God, and in particular to minister to someone else, it doesn't matter what differences you have with people are, because you have the same heart. You have the heart of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this tonight, amen. I'm going to let the apostle go forward, but there have been a lot of different things going on in the body lately, and last night I taught a lesson on coming, matter of fact, on the life of Ruth. And there were three questions that were asked, and there were certain things that we could learn just looking at the book of Ruth. But it has, it's a lot of it, the church, as far as the church today, it has its roots in these scriptures right here. For instance, Ruth, the story of Ruth was a very remarkable one. She was a Gentile woman. She was a Moabite woman. She was literally of a lineage that was kin to Israel, but they were sworn enemies of Israel. the Moabites came about because of an act of incest between Lot and his daughter. Now, that's just the backstory on that. But the reason I'm telling you all this is because there were qualities that every one of us who are of the body of Christ now should be exemplifying or should be showing forth that you can see pretty clearly in the book of Ruth. For instance, honesty was one. Integrity was another one. Honor and respect. These are the things that they had in common according to these scriptures and Acts right here. By the fact the Bible says there that no man lacked anything because nobody called anything of his own, but they brought everything together and they dispersed so that nobody would have need. These are the things that we are called to do. And again, be it according to your faith. If you don't have the faith to believe that God's going to provide while you're seeking the energy for somebody else, then guess what? God's not going to provide. So when it comes to these things and it comes to this particular ministry and it comes to your faith, you have to have the faith of the body, and we all have to be on one accord. We all have to have all things in common. This is why what Apostle Ellis is doing is so important, because, first of all, the Spirit of God brings unity. It's supposed to, and it's designed to bring unity. The Bible says that a threefold cord is not easily broken. So that means we are stronger together. We're stronger in numbers. And as my friend and my pastor, Pastor Chet Atkins, says often, you know, teamwork makes the dream work, amen? So none of us is in this thing alone, but we are together, the body of Christ, and the Spirit of God flowing throughout the body of Christ is what makes us strong. But we've got to be on one accord. Everybody, there's no room for no big eyes and little U's. There's no hidden or secret agenda. There's no, as Juanita Bynum put it so many years back, no original anointing. Everything comes from God the Father on down to and through us. Amen. So, and we've got to understand that all of this, again, is spiritual warfare. But what I love about these verses of Scripture, as a matter of fact, let me read one more. As a matter of fact, these verses of Scripture show us the unity because, as a matter of fact, the unity, the power is designed to come through the unity and flow through the unity in the body. So verse 33 says, and with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Please understand that all of this is to build our witness. All of us is to establish our witness. Remember, God gets things done on earth right now through the hands of men. And if your witness is intact, your witness is not intact, then that means there's no power intact. Amen, somebody. We've got to understand, Apostle Ellis says it all the time, you know, this only comes by way of illumination. You know, we've got to come, we've got to receive revelation unto illumination, and therefore we can walk in operation of God's Spirit. But if the seat of the faith isn't right, then again, we're not going to see any demonstrated power, any dunamis power, any delegated power, any delegated authority. But God's already done his part. It's up to us to develop our faith and do ours. The Bible says that we are to grow from faith to faith and from glory to glory. Well, saints, what are we doing? Are we operating? Do we have all things common? Are we operating in the bonds and the knowledge that we're having? We're operating in the same, the one and the same Spirit. because the only spirit that matters, the only spirit that's going to prevail is the Holy Spirit. Beloved, don't let anybody fool you. This same spirit right here that the Bible says that came down with power from on high and that went into through the apostles is the exact same spirit that Jesus also delegated to his church, to us, to the body of Christ, to his exousia, his ecclesia, the called out according to God, his called out, his body, the body of Christ, his people, each and every one of us. If we are of the same mind and the same heart, then we have the same power operating within us. Now, this is the thing. It's not time to sit back on our heels and take it lightly, but rather it's time to do the opposite. It's time for us to get busier and busier so that we can strengthen and strengthen and encourage growing more in our faith, and we can get further and further more into the cause of Christ. Again, God allows us and strengthens us for the purpose of helping build someone else. Intercession is everything. The life of a Christian, the life of Christ, was about interceding. That's why the Bible says that he is our high priest and intercessor, seated at the right hand of God. He's there interceding for us today. Our job is to continue to receive from him and to continue to walk in his will and his wisdom and his words and intercede for others and one another, even right here on earth. That's why the testimony is so important. That's why your spiritual life, your education, your spiritual education is so important. That's why it's important to try to seek every day that you can to develop the mind of Christ, because Jesus himself said that you'll know the tree by the fruit that it bears. The fruit has to come forth. The fruit has to show and shine forth. It doesn't matter how well you think you can mask it or hide it. If it's there, it's there. If it's not, it's not. Period, point blank. The Bible tells us, be not deceived. God is not mocked. But whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And if you're sowing into the mind of Christ, if you're sowing into the Spirit of God, then you're going to reap and receive of the mind of Christ and reap and receive in the Spirit of God. It's not just for us to talk about and to claim that we look good, amen, but it's time for us to put the Word of God into practical use. It's time for us to demonstrate the delegated authority of God. And because, listen, it's still, until he comes back, until Christ returns, it's still God's will that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And as long as we're claiming to be saved, we have not only a part, but a responsibility in that, and to seeing the will of God being fulfilled. Remember, we pray. Every time somebody recites the Lord's Prayer, we pray, what do we pray? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it already is in heaven. Well, guess what? What do you think we're here for? We're called to be representatives of the Most High God right here on earth. We're called to do his bidding and his work right here on earth, because his will is that his kingdom is established right here on earth.
Amen.
We were put here. We were created and put here to establish his kingdom, thereby his will on earth. We can't afford to take anything for granted anymore. You know, with everything that we see what's going on, we're living in the last days. We're living in what Christ called in the 24th chapter of Matthew, beginning of sorrows. Now, don't you understand? Do you understand, beloved, that before it gets better, it's going to get a lot more worse? This isn't a time that everything's going to be coming up roses, but rather we see the will of God coming to pass every day before our very eyes. And the Bible says in these days that there was going to be a great falling away from the church. It said that the love of many shall wax cold. As a matter of fact, Christ said, even in this day and time, not only that the love of many shall wax cold, but he said, even if it were possible that the very elect of God will be deceived in the giving up their salvation. So please understand that these are very serious, serious times. So every chance and every moment you got, please take every opportunity you can to build your faith, because your faith right now is everything. It's life's blood, and we've got to know, realize, and understand that it's because of the faithfulness of God that we are able to extrude and demonstrate a faith in the Most Holy God. People like to take all these catchphrases and these sayings and things and apply them, and they sound good and they make you feel good at times, but so much of it is true. You know, people like to say all the time, favor ain't fair. No, favor ain't fair. But how many know that even though favor's not fair, every one of us still has to be grateful for the grace of God? Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. That means because of the grace of God, you got time to get it right. Because of the grace of God, you got time to get it wrong.
Amen.
But the choice is yours. Back in the day, there used to be a show. Everybody used to love this show, Flip Wilson. He had a character named Geraldine. Geraldine would mess up and do this and that, and her favorite line was, the devil made me do it. Well, saints, I'm here to tell you, the devil ain't never made nobody do nothing. Sometimes we give him too much credit and not enough credit to God, but the devil ain't made nobody do nothing. If God's not going to force his will on you, the devil has no authority. The devil has to get permission to attack you. Now, if you don't believe me, read the book of Acts. See, we're in position to do the will of God strictly of our own volition and voluntariness. And those of us that decide to, we got to understand and we've got to really realize and appreciate everything that comes with. The good, the bad, the indifferent. The Bible says that anybody who wishes or wants to reign with Christ shall also what? Suffer with Christ. Those that live godly shall suffer persecution. Now, that does not mean that it diminishes your power. What it means is that you become refocused with every attack and every battle to look for the ways and what God would have you to demonstrate his power.
Amen.
It's not time to abandon. It's not time to get weak. It's not time to give up. No, the Bible says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. It's time to stand up and stand out and move on in the will of God. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
It's time
Hallelujah.
For us to acknowledge who we are. See, first of all, you've got to believe certain things. You've got to believe, if nothing else, that redemption is possible. See, no matter what season you're in your life, you're still yet important to God.
Amen.
No matter what you've been through, you have to believe that redemption is possible. First and foremost, the Bible says that God is a rewarder of them that, what, diligently seek him.
Amen. Yes.
He said, but first you come to God, has to what? Believe that he is.
Yeah. Amen.
And then that he will reward of them that diligently seek him. So first of all, you've got to believe and know that redemption is possible. Everybody on this earth, every human, is important to God. Everybody. And God has a plan for every life. God has a function and a destiny for every life. The only time that it differs from that is when you choose to alter a plan. I wish I had some time to get off into some of these other things, especially like what I was talking about, like the Book of Ruth. But we'll talk about that at a different time. But what I'm trying to tell you is don't be discouraged. Rather be encouraged. God has created you. He's made you fearfully and wonderfully. He's created you to be his agent and his resource here on earth. As a matter of fact, see, man's limitation, my limitation is God's opportunity. But there is no limit on God. All you got to do is have the faith. And all you got to do is press on and be encouraged in spite of. When it talks about those characteristics of Ruth, again, take a look at the things that the body of Christ should have, should be put showing forth. Integrity. See, integrity is what you do when ain't nobody watching. Because, see, you can escape my eye. You can escape Apostle Ellis's eyes, but none of us will ever escape the eye of God. Literally, what you see is what you get. David said, if I ascend into the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, lo, you're there. Where it can't get away. So why not choose the winning side? Why not choose to empower yourself with the winning God?
Amen.
That's what this scripture means. When they had all things power, when they had all things common, they were of one accord because God had just impressed upon them the Holy Ghost and that with power, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And when they came together with one thought and one mind that nobody would lack anything because the gospel must needs be preached.
Amen.
That's where we're at today. In spite of everything that's going on, in spite of whatever you've been through, beloved, you still have the ability, you still have the opportunity to gird your loins and go forth and minister the gospel of God. You ain't got to be a pulpit preacher, but your life is what's supposed to shine. Paul said, faith without works is dead. So he said, show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Sometimes it don't take a word. Everybody wasn't called. It didn't have to be a pulpit preacher. Besides, the power is not in the title. It's in the spirit of the person wearing the title or not having the title. See, God designed that your life would be a living worship to him. Your life. We are supposed to live lives of intercession. And I know I'm getting short on time, so I'm going to cut this off. But please understand that we're talking about demonstrating the power of God by your faith and having all things common. This is what this is all about. The Bible says that what? We always quote these scriptures, but sometimes I really believe that we don't understand the importance and the significance of what they mean for us. See, it's easy to quote scriptures when you feel like they're men and they're intended for somebody else, but when are they supposed to? Everything that the word says is supposed to hit you first.
That's right. That's right. First to you. And then
it has to.
Yeah.
It has to.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible says that one can chase 1,000, but two can put 10,000 to flight. Again, a threefold cord is not easily broken. So we've got to learn how to come together and have all things common.
Amen.
Then and only then there'll be nobody feeble among us, and everything we need we don't even have to wonder about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're going to have tough times, but yeah, when we're walking right, we're doing
mm-hmm.
right, then somebody else is being delivered, and that's what it's about.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I like the way Dr. Albright put it to me one time. He said, you know, according to the word of God, death, sickness, nothing has no dominion, no power over your physical body. It's only what we decide to give it by our faith or lack thereof.
Amen.
Amen. And you know, I just want to encourage somebody tonight just to keep pressing on. Keep pressing on.
Yes.
Keep praying. Keep praising. The Bible
mm-hmm.
says, Acts 25th chapter, around the 16th verse, the Bible says that, and at
mm-hmm.
midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang
mm-hmm.
praises unto God. Now, this is what I love right here. Paul and Silas, the scripture gives us that Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. But the most remarkable thing was, the Bible says, and the prisoners heard them. How many people you know that's suffering through some type of bondage, whether it be financial, whether it be physical in their body, whether it be mental, emotional, somebody's dealing with something. And you have come in contact with many
Amen.
Different people on a daily basis. But the Bible says when the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake that shook the foundation of the prison doors, and not just Paul and Silas's, but everybody's bands were loosed.
Power.
God is a generous God. God is a loving and faithful God. And don't you know, if he'll bring salvation to one or two, he'll bring salvation to the masses. See, sometimes God has to get your focus on where it needs to be in order for somebody else to receive deliverance. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you this much. Those of you that are saved and you know you're sanctified, you know that you're going through something, listen, we're going to talk about this later on too. But I can show you even in the book of 2 Kings where God allowed someone to go through something.
Amen.
And he didn't even show it to the man of God.
Mm.
But because of her faith. Her faith brought it to the man of God so that God could then turn around and use the man of God to work a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
See, a lot of times we fall into a place where we want to depend on the preacher and the pastor to do everything for us. But that's not
yeah.
God's will.
Amen.
You have to learn how to grow and stand on your own 2 feet in this thing.
Yes. Hallelujah.
You can't always depend on what you think is coming directly through the man of God, because even though the man of God's heart is knit with God, God will go out of his way not to show the man of God just so he can show it directly to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Be it according to your faith. You got to receive.
Yeah.
Hey, man, that's our time for tonight. We're going to expound on that a little bit mm-hmm. more even next week. We thank God
Amen.
For you tuning in. We thank God for you listening.
Yeah.
Listen,
yeah.
we just want to encourage somebody just
Amen.
To keep on standing. Just keep on fighting
Amen.
The fight of faith. Amen.
Amen.
Father, in the name
Amen.
Of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. This is Elder Kerry Williams. Kerry Williams Ministries coming to you out of Saginaw, Michigan, by way of Harvest New Life Church and Apostle Charles Elder. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. Amen. Good night.
Amen.